This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
I just want to clarify something. I just saw this text message here. Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN, Seattle. Hope you guys are having a good morning. It says, cut Felix. You're losing it, Salk. I certainly wasn't trying to suggest the Mariners should cut Felix. That's not the point.
No, a little DL stint.
The question is whether or not Felix is going to last this year, though, in the rotation. And I think that there is a real question mark about it right now. You got to see what he was capable of the couple starts ago against Tampa Bay when he really pitched pretty well, got himself, what, through eight innings? And then you also got to see what he could look like this past weekend when he was awful.
Probably be out there with Berlander in the air, right?
Here, that's not true. You got wrecked and gave up six runs in three innings.
Who played that? Lydia, was that you? Was that you or was that
Kyle?
It's
the meanest thing Lydia has ever done. That's so mean.
Please stop that. That's not very nice.
Oh, no.
That's really funny, though, Lydia.
Here's the reality of the situation with Felix Hernandez right now. If it were October 1st instead of June 11th and they were drawing up a playoff roster, he's not on the 25-man roster.
No.
Like, let's just be clear about it. If you're doing a playoff roster for a one- or five-game playoff, he is not on that roster. Can we all agree with that? If you're building your playoff roster, Felix is not on it.
Paxton,
that's crazy.
Marco.
Leak. And then probably Wade LeBlanc if you need one more long guy. Felix is not on your playoff roster right now. That's the reality of the situation.
Well, he was just unlucky, though. It's not even the Verlander cut. He threw it well Saturday. He was just unlucky.
I don't know. I didn't like hearing some of this stuff.
No,
yeah, this was Felix
luck.
After.
Yeah, it was a little different. I mean, I was making a good pitch. I was on Hector, found some holes, and nothing to do about that. So I think I had pretty good stuff. They just put the ball in play.
No, you didn't have good stuff. They didn't just put the ball in play. You got rocked. And by the way, your manager agreed.
I feel like stuff wasn't as good today. That was pretty evident right from the get-go. Just the life on the fastball. Well, it really wasn't there. But, you know, looking at the outing, you know, I give up, a couple things didn't go his way there in the second inning, the third inning. We got two out, nobody on. He walks Gomez, and then it leads in.
That was just bad luck, though, that he walked Gomez, right? I mean, you know, he made some good pitches to Gomez. Unfortunately, just walked him.
Yeah, it was a little different. I mean, I was making a good pitch. It was on Hector, found some holes, and nothing to do about that. So I think I had pretty good stuff. They just put the ball in play. I mean, they put a lot of ball in play, and they found holes. And like I said, a little bit tough luck.
I feel like stuff wasn't as good today.
Okay, this is not me playing it, just so to clarify, that is all Salk.
I feel like stuff wasn't as good today.
All Mike Salk.
Just had some bad luck.
Dude. Okay, next.
Delusional.
Move on.
All right.
Move on.
Sorry about that. Why don't you read your thing? Give me a moment to compose myself over here.
Okay.
Go read your thing. The Mariners are great. Felix is not.
They are good. Am I reading this right? Is this possible? It's the eighth year of our football camp at the station. Is that true? It is the eighth year that we get a chance to bring the youth football camp and all the volunteers here from this station over to UW and get to host it there. Brought to you by 710, ESPN Seattle, and Sports in School. This year's football camp will take place on July 18th in beautiful Husky Stadium. There's going to be two separate camps, a youth camp and a teen camp. Both camps, totally free. F-R-E-E, free, and lots of goodies coming your way. Registration begins, what, a week from today at 710 Sports.
And it always sells out essentially immediately. So be prepared, man. Those spots go real fast.
Next Monday.
I feel like stuff wasn't as good today.
Stop
not
it.
As good as it could have been,
stop
anyway.
It.
Lydia, enough.
Lydia, seriously.
This
stop,
is so not me.
Stop
you guys are, this is the meanest thing you've ever done.
But Lydia, like Marshawn Lynch, you started the whole thing, okay? Yeah. If Marshawn started all this Earl stuff, you're Verlander.
I mean, Felix started it by saying it. I didn't force him to say it.
Felix's stuff wasn't as good today. Felix's like, great stuff. What great stuff? You're throwing 85-mile-an-hour fastball. Are you delusional?
Yes.
What is wrong with him?
Like all really great didn't want to do that.
Like all great players,
delusional.
Mike, great players are delusional.
I feel like stuff wasn't as good today.
Oh, man. All right.
I gave you a minute, bro. I did my
Sorry.
Read.
I know.
Get back
I'm still
on track.
Laughing about that. Just the juxtaposition of him. And by the way, Zanino basically said the same thing as Scott. He's like, Yeah, stuff wasn't quite there. I mean, you make a mistake with 86-mile-an-hour fastball. Here's the problem. Felix has to be perfect.
Yeah.
And we saw last week against Tampa that he's capable of it. If he concentrates and bears down on every single pitch and has a great game plan and follows through and executes and is perfect, he can be fine. He can live at 86, 87 miles an hour. Bear in mind, his fastball now is about the same speed as Wade LeBlanc's. And LeBlanc has learned how to pitch this way over time.
Right.
Hitting the outside corner, big left-handed sweeping curve, throws the change, does all these things to kind of keep you off your guard. Felix isn't doing that. And he knows that when he gets in trouble, he's relying on things that he doesn't have anymore.
Yep.
So it's real frustrating to watch that on Saturday.
He's a little unlucky.
He's just a little unlucky.
Who in the heck is that guy on the mound? I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, well, it was Felix, and he gave up 6 runs in 3 innings. It was pretty uninspiring. Earl Thomas is not going to be attending the upcoming mini camp or any team activities until his contract situation is resolved. This leads immediately, just the first sentence from his statement, Brock, to a discussion on his contract. What is his contract situation and what about it is unresolved?
Mm-hmm.
That's part one, and there's a group of people who will just stop there and say, I don't know what you're talking about, resolve your contract. It's resolved.
And we took
you have a contract for one more year, play it out, and then we can talk about it then. There's no contract situation to resolve right
now. Yes, you didn't have an out. You didn't have an escape clause. You didn't have escalators. You didn't structure the deal in a way that you got your money on the front end, and then the contract exploded on the back end, so you had to revisit it. Instead, you took a deal that, you know, at the time, I think most people looked at, A, it was the highest paid safety at the time you signed it, and B, you didn't have it backloaded in any crazy ways. Like, why would I want to do that? I want to be here. I want to be in the LOB. I want to play with Richard and Cam, and I want to be the greatest defense in the history of the game and the greatest free safety. And so because of that, your number is not that outrageous. It can fit into the salary cap. The Seahawks are more than prepared, paying you your 8.5 this year and still have about 8.5 under the cap.
This doesn't make me mad at Earl, though, I got to be honest. There's a group of people for whom this is it. And it's like, well, you have a contract. I don't know what you're talking about. You should play it out. It's resolved.
It doesn't make you
mad. I'm not like that.
It doesn't make you mad, but this comment is kind of like Felix's. Is it borderline delusional? But I also believe that based on my production over the last 8 years, I have earned the right to have this taken care of as soon as possible.
Yeah, I was going to get to that sentence because I feel very differently about that one.
Yeah.
And that's the one that sort of will get under my skin. And I understand why he might believe that. But there's just years and years of history that say that's not the way sports works, and specifically not the way football works. And I understand that Earl's got to fight for what he wants and fight for his own money and this, that, and the other. But the team can't capitulate. The team can't. The team can't function that way. They need to be concerned with the market. They need to be concerned with his future productivity instead of the past. They need to be concerned with their salary cap and how they want to dole out their resources.
Yeah, you know,
they can't bow
down to
this.
It'd be very interesting, not to just nitpick this statement, okay, but it'd be very interesting if that statement would have said, but I also believe that I'm the best in the game. Talk to anybody in the game, and they would say my tape speaks for itself, and I've got 5 more years of being the best safety in the game. Pay me. Right, just how different that sounds than, hey, man, I feel like what I've done in the past and all my production, if he would have in his just even statement here, just spun this sucker forward, like, I want to be a part of this thing. Okay, the Seattle Seahawks mean the most to me, mean more than anything. What the community has done for me in my decade here is the most meaningful aspect of my life. And I can't wait to be a part of this thing and be the best safety in the game for the next 5 years. Period. Period. Instead, it is, man, give me mine. I deserve it. I've done it in the past, and I'm not setting foot
It's an attitude that the Seahawks are trying to move on from.
They've been there and they've done that.
It is an attitude that they have spent this entire offseason attempting to move on from, and this seems to be the one last vestige from the past. You can't allow it. You've got to deal them. You've got to cut them. You've got to do something that does not allow this to tank what you're trying to build. Now, here's the good news. And we're going to grab some more of your calls here in a sec, 206-421-3776. When Cam Chancellor held out, when Marshawn Lynch held out, those are the two most recent examples, the Seahawks were right in the thick of everything.
Yep.
Super Bowls, legacy, dynasty were all on the line in each one of those seasons. Let's be realistic with each other. That's probably not the case right now. They're in a different situation. They're attempting to take the power back. They are in a turn. They are in a reboot. They're not going to be bad. I'm not suggesting they're tanking or that they're going to go 6-10. They've got a franchise quarterback in Russell Wilson. But the desperation to win right now in your window, not quite the same as it was a few years ago. You are now essentially in a 2 or 3 year pattern of trying to get back to where you were, of restocking, of putting some of those pieces on your defense and around Russell Wilson and learning some new coordinators. And they're you are in a restocking, retooling phase that's going to take a year. So that's not to say you can't be good this year. I think they can. I think they can get back to the playoffs again this year if they do it right. But the desperation, unfortunately, Earl, it's not going to be on your side this time. And that's why I'm looking at the phones. And I got 6 lines full. And every single one of the callers, Brock, says they support the team, not the player.
Wow.
Everyone. 6 out of 6 right now on the line. And we've taken, what, 10 calls already today, maybe more? And 80, 90% have already been with the team, not the player? Earl, there's no sentiment here for you. I don't think there is.
I don't know about that. And I wonder on the different shows on the station if you even feel a little bit of that. And I'll say this, too.
I don't know. I support the team, so I figured that everybody else would come out and support the player. If for no other reason than to disagree with me.
About 6,000. About 6, that's pretty good.
It didn't
good.
Enter my mind to do that until you came on the air today. I was like, oh, maybe I do support Earl Thomas.
Everybody likes it, but guess what? Mike's off dome.
Contrarian! 206-421-3776. Grab Mike, who's in Edmonds. What's up, Mikey?
Good morning, guys.
Hello.
Now I'm conflicted. I got a Earl comment and I got a Felix comment.
Oh, let's go.
I think I think Earl is at best a distraction to the new culture and at worst a detriment. The longer this goes on, the worse it's going to get. They worked so hard to reinvent themselves and put so much into the coaching changes and the personnel changes. I don't want to see him cave in to Earl and use all that money on a guy that's headed downhill.
Well, let's just say this. They're not going to do that.
Good.
I don't think there's any way on God's green earth that John Schneider capitulates to Earl Thomas's demands here.
No.
None.
And, you know, there's nobody besides a QB that ages gracefully in the NFL. So I would like to see them trade him. Just please not within the division. That's my Earl comment. And my Felix comment is he's been fed into his ego for so long that I can understand why he's in denial. But the sad truth is if we have a one game play-in game, there's nobody I want pitching less than I want Felix pitching. And that's a sad thing to say, but that's the truth.
Well, hopefully he can find it over the last 10 or 12 starts of the season. Let me ask you this. Let me frame just another little unique angle here to Earl. If they believed he really could play at a high level, that it wasn't about the 8 or 9 years in the past, if Pete and John believed he's got 4 more years of great football ahead of him, don't you think they would have done a deal?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, doesn't that also have to resonate and kind of send a message to everybody that wants them to pay him, and they're saying no?
Yeah.
And how many times, and I'm just saying this off the cuff, I haven't thought it through, how many times have they lost guys who've gone out other places and exploded? Have we seen that? Were their judgment of the market is like, you know what, this is what we think.
They've yet to really screw it up. Golden Tate has had success. I think they would say.
And they wanted to pay him.
Yeah,
The market just kind of flooded, and it got to a point where they couldn't. They wanted to have paid him on his second deal, and they would have, and they had a number for him. It was laughable to Golden. But
Bruce Irvin didn't leave and put up 15 sacks or something. I mean, he was fine. He was a good player, but not a great one since he left. And, you know, Russell Okung has been fine, and J.R. Sweezy got hurt. I mean,
Byron Maxwell had to come back.
I don't think they've been too wrong about anybody. You can make an argument they should have kept some of those guys that they needed them themselves, but no one who you're like, man, you really missed out. That guy got better after
that.
Now,
we will see. This will be the ultimate
Bennett,
test because they held on to so many of them. Yeah. Let's see if Bennett gets double-digit sacks. Let's see if Sherman turns himself into the Pro Bowler, makes his $14 million on an incentive.
The odds, I would say, are against those things happening. 206-421-3776, Brandon in Burien. Good morning, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, man.
Good. My whole thing is everybody wants to compare Earl to Ed Reed all the time. And the difference between the two at this stage of the career, Ed Reed didn't have stone hands like Earl. That man actually catches the ball and finishes the play. I grew up a Ravens fan. Ed Reed's my boy. And, Earl's just breaking down, and there's no reason to pay this man at this point. He can't do what Ed Reed could do at this stage of his career.
Wow. All right. Thanks for the phone call. I don't know, man. I will say this about Earl. I'm not quite ready to say he's got hands of stone, but I will say that the number of big plays he's made seems to have diminished in the last few years.
Yeah.
And maybe some of that is the
he
style.
He had a pick six last year against Houston.
I didn't say it's gone away entirely, but it's diminished. I mean, there have been a lot of times I just remember thinking, God, Earl, step up and make a play out here, man. Mm-hmm. And kind of just waiting for it and not finding it. And this defense was not the same the last couple of years, especially last season.
Well, when you look at those splits, Mike Sando put one out yesterday on Twitter, you look at those splits of with or without Earl.
Yeah, but some of those are from 2 years ago when they had one of the worst players I've seen in the NFL replace him. Yeah, you're right. When you don't have Earl and you're playing, what was that guy's name?
Don't act like you don't know his name.
Terrell.
Get your name out his mouth.
Stephen Terrell. Thank you. David Terrell was a wide receiver. Stephen Terrell. You're playing Stephen Terrell, who's, to this day, the only player I've ever heard Pete Carroll call out after a game as being awful. Do you remember?
Keep my name out your mouth.
Thank you. Do you remember Pete calling him out after that game? I think it was against Tampa. When he was just like, yeah, well, you can't have that. You can't get beat over the top.
Right.
Stephen Terrell was awful. So, yeah, you're right. Without Earl and with Stephen Terrell, they were a bad team on defense. Mm-hmm. But without Earl and with Bradley McDougal last year, they were fine. They were fine. Were they great? Were they spectacular? No. I mean, you got to use that money on something else. But they were okay. They survived without Earl last year, don't you think?
They survive, but that's not good enough to be a playoff team. Survival is not going to be with the Rams and the 49ers and the NFC.
Neither is having Earl hold out, and neither is paying him $13, $14 million a year for the next five as he goes into his 30s. I don't think those things are going to help either.
Come on, give me somebody on the other side.
I got one person.
Yeah, absolutely. No, there's a lot of them. I got 36% of my poll, 6,000 of you, so 36%
of you.
Well,
then they must be all on the phone.
Yes.
Robert is in Redmond. Hi,
Thank you, Robert.
Good morning.
Thank you, Robert. Give me the other side.
Morning, boys. Morning, Lydia. So it's a little bit complicated, right, because these guys take a beating for a living, and you have to consider that. And then the second thing is it's a win-now league. So how many wins do you think Earl helped them achieve in this year?
Yeah, that's a good question. You got a wins above replacement, kind of that baseball stat that people love to look at.
And then if you consider the fact that this team already is on the margin and some people think it's already declining, and so you take Earl away.
So what do you do, Robert? You pay him?
I think you go to the negotiating table with different offers, and it doesn't mean it's a 5-year deal. Maybe it's a 2-year deal. Maybe it's a 2-year deal with a bump this year. The other thing we don't know is, what is the Seahawks strategy? Is it to really come down a little bit this year and next year and then reload one more time for Russell 4 or 5 for the next 3 to 4 years after that? Or are we really going for it right now? Right.
You know, I think there's a lot of great points in there, man. There really are. The only thing that I think I would take out of it is the very first thing about, hey, you know, it's hard and they get beat up and I understand why Earl wants to get paid. But if you're a Seahawks fan, you can't be worried about that, right? I mean, you're worried only about what makes the team better short and long term. Unfortunately, whether Earl gets beat up during that, that's just not – I can't focus on that.
Well, I'm trying to think about it from both sides.
Yeah,
I have one
sense.
Other question for you. What if Earl was making $2 million this year? How would that change your opinion?
Does he still want $13 million next year?
He wants – let's just say he wants a lot more, but he's making $2 million this year.
Oh, that's fine. I mean, if you want to go from 2 to 4 or 2 to 10 and you want to get paid the normal, fine.
Yeah.
But he's looking for 13 and what that does to your salary.
And I would say this too, Robert. It's interesting. If Pete Carroll heard your comment right there, he would spit it out of his mouth. Going for it? Did you just say we're not going for it? And I would also challenge that, Robert. This is not a season. This isn't basketball. This isn't a game where you tank. There's livelihoods on the line. Pete's, Mike and I see this differently. I think there's some real pressure on Pete to make sure this thing doesn't bottom out, right? There's real pressure.
I'm freaking jacked.
Yeah, there's pressure on John Schneider for the Tedrick Thompsons and the Delano Hills and the Mauro Darbos and the Nick Vinettes and all of this capital you have spent. You know, they went for it, in your words. They're going for it. They went for it in those drafts in a huge way. They set it up so they could have 13 picks in that draft and in their wheelhouse of where they want value. Mm. So I would kind of spit some of that concept of, well, we don't really know what they're thinking. Yes, you do. They're thinking these young guys that we've invested in now have their opportunity, and they got a hit like Richard and Cam, and those guys hit when they got their opportunity.
Grab Adam, who's in Seattle. Good morning, Adam.
Good morning. I'm completely on the team side. I know the Seahawks are not the Patriots, but could you imagine if Burrow was on New England and he pulled this holdout? Bill Belichick would sit back and say, okay, I'm going to trade you and get something for you. I don't care who you are. Earl needs to honor his contract. He was the highest paid safety when he signed his contract at the time. So if I'm John and Pete, I would call Dallas or whichever team is interested in Earl and get a trade done.
Oh, they have tried, my friend Adam. They have tried for months and months and months to find a deal for somebody else because they knew this. Okay, these guys are not stuck in this moment yesterday. This isn't Robbie Cano and Scott Servais who found out on a Monday with all the rest of us who found out, 12 hours beforehand that he'd been popped. That's not the case. They play these scenarios out, and they've got flow charts, and they've got all these things set up. And you know what? When this started way back when Earl ran in that Dallas locker room and Earl was at the Pro Bowl saying, I know me, I know myself, I'm protecting my family, I won't set foot there, they knew that this end game right now that we find ourselves in was more than likely to happen. You know what? So did the rest of the league. And the rest of the league is John Clayton is sitting there saying, okay, how's this thing going to implode? Right? And we're not going to trade for him now. Let's just see how this thing unravels. Yeah. We have no pity for you. You stomped on us for nearly a decade in this league, and you enjoyed all the abundance of riches and championships and everything else. So there's no pity from this league like, oh, well, let's shovel you a second-round pick and take this off your hands. Yeah. Nope. The rest of the league says, okay, Pete. Okay, John, that's your headache, and now it just got bigger.
Well, and unfortunately, I'm with the call. I would love to see them deal Earl. I wanted to see it happen. I would have accepted less than a second-round pick just to make this thing go away at the draft. But unfortunately, it didn't happen. And now every team out there is going to think they can. The longer they wait, the more leverage they'll get. So anybody who does want Earl is just going to wait and wait and wait and say, okay, if this is going to turn into your problem during training camp, we'll just kind of wait this whole thing out.
Yep,
that's a bummer. That doesn't mean you still can't get a deal done. And I think this is maybe where some of John Schneider's great relationships that he has throughout the league may help. Honestly.
Yeah.
This is where it pays to not have doubled back against Philadelphia and taken New England's deal for Michael Bennett, even if it was a little tick better, because you're a man of your word and you build those relationships around the league. It's the one thing that I hope is that John Schneider and the great relationships he has would be enough for somebody to deal
Rays
fairly
would
want with him.
Because DePoto and the Rays got a really unique team.
Yeah, they're just best friends.
Find a way to get that thing done.
John Schneider on that list, remember, of the most respected GMs in the league, voted in the top five.
If they trade him to the Rays, can they bring back that kid who debuted over the weekend, the first baseman? That kid can play a little bit. What's his name?
Brower.
I like him, man.
Yeah.
I kind of like that kid.
Yeah, he's had some swag. I like him.
He's got a little bit of swag. I kind of enjoyed watching him. All right, phone line's still jammed. Earl's still holding out. This isn't going away. It's Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
I will not be attending the upcoming mini camp or any team activities until my contract situation is resolved. I want everyone, especially 12s, to know that I want to remain a Seahawk for the rest of my career, but I also believe that based on my production over the last 8 years, that I've earned the right to have this taken care of as soon as possible. I want to have certainty in regard to the upcoming years of my career. I'm going to continue to work my craft and put in work so that I can add to the team and give us the best chance to win. I hope my teammates understand where I'm coming from. I believe this is the right thing to do. Those are the words from Earl Thomas, who not more than a few years ago said about Cam Chancellor during his holdout, hey, he's handling his situation rather than helping us. I try not to deal with that energy. Well, it didn't take long. It took 3 years before his deal would expire, and Earl finds himself now, Brock, right in that same spot.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I'm a little surprised, and I don't know if it's just the perspective that you and I come from at times. I'm sure our listeners or non-listeners of our show think we're too team-friendly. Oh, you guys are too attached to Pete. You guys talk to him every Monday. You guys are just, you know, you're part of the Seahawks. You're almost part of their management. You're too connected. You're too close. And maybe that's why it's been almost a resounding support of the team in this matter. Because I think there's a lot more out there that are more supportive of Earl, that are really frustrated with the team, that are frustrated with where this culture went, and would really like to see Earl paid. At least, you know, almost 40%.
If they're frustrated with the culture, why do they want to pay Earl?
Because he's an excellent player and can still help this team win. And for the next 5 years,
you're just saying their problem is with the culture and things getting away from them.
Yes.
If that's the case, then why would you pay another person for holding out?
Well, Earl has been there. Okay. Other than this, where he's trying to play a little leverage ploy, he's been there. He's been an absolute warrior for you. He's not missed games. He's played with a torn up shoulder.
So was Richard Sherman.
Yep.
So So was Michael Bennett. They'd all done that. So what do you talk? I don't see the connection point there.
I'm not making that case.
Good.
Okay,
doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, well, I'm not making it, but there's a lot that
it's
don't
not befitting of
well,
you.
And then also, Mike, emotionally,
you're better than that.
And obviously, there's a lot of people, and we took a call earlier. It's like I'm not real comfortable with this because I love Earl. I love him. I love everything he represents.
A lot of people,
and I don't like digging into this business stuff.
We talked about this earlier, man. It is uncomfortable when you are forced to choose between two things you like.
Yep.
It's not like a sport where you can choose between a team you like and a team you don't. It's a player you like and a team you love. But I think, Brock, what you're hearing is from most of these people, and I'll grab Tyson and Gig Harbor, he can explain, for the most part, people root for the team over the player. Go ahead, Tyson.
Good morning. Good morning, guys. Happy
hey,
early
man.
Father's Day to you.
Thank you.
You might just say what I was, you know, just nailed it right on the head. I'm definitely a believer in love the team, not the player. I've had a Seahawk on my hat longer than Earl Thomas has been alive, and I'll have a Seahawk on my hat. And the second thing I wanted to say is that, you know, over the last couple of years, I've heard a lot of comparisons of the Seahawks and the Patriots, and we should be more like the Patriots. Well, now's the chance for us to put our money where our mouth is. If this was the Patriots, we'd be our conversation today would be why or how Earl Thomas is going to help the Browns or the Bears or the Bucks or any of those teams. And we'd be listening to Colin Cowherd talk about the threatening email that Earl got, talking about how we're going to frame him for introducing Alex Guerrero to Russell Wilson.
That's pretty funny. You know, that's a good call, Tyson, and thank you. And I know people are constantly, oh, the Patriots don't have these problems. You know, you can say all you want about Pete's culture. Bill Belichick has had contract holdouts too, by the way. Asante Samuel held out. Logan Mankins held out. I mean, there have been others as well, I think. I know those two for sure. And I'm pretty sure there have been at least one more, but I'd have to go back and check.
I'm pretty sure their greatest quarterback of all time said no thanks to the whole offseason and your whole deal.
Oh, he hasn't formally held out or anything yet. But both Samuel and Mankins did. I think there have been others.
Well, he held out from the voluntary. He played the voluntary card. Mr. Brady played the voluntary card for the first time in 18 years.
Yeah, exactly. So, look, you know, this place is
perfect. Every place has unbelievable amounts of drama. This just adds to it.
That's true.
This adds to the 30 for 30 that's going to be done on this Seahawks run that is so full when we actually go back and look in the rearview mirror of a player flipping off the sidelines, of kumbaya meetings on the sidelines,
crazy,
of players just throwing coaches under the bus, of just all the stuff that they have gone through this period of unrivaled success.
I will say this. You can support that. You can be a bigger Seahawks fan than an Earl Thomas fan, but also still believe that they should pay Earl. Because if you believe what's in the best interest of the team long term is to pay Earl Thomas and have one of the best safeties in history there on your team for the next few years, then it's possible to be a bigger Seahawks fan than an Earl Thomas fan and still support Earl.
Can you make an argument that this team, and I was reading a bunch of projections, a lot of them had it, Seahawks at 7-9. Sports Illustrated came out with their team by team deal. Is there an argument to be made that at 7-9, finally to answer Robert's question about wins above replacement, are they a game or two better with Earl?
Maybe, but if you're looking at 7-9 already with Earl, I'm not sure there's a lot of value in signing him up long term. Take the picks, build for the future, and do what you can do. Rashid's in Bothell. Rashid, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Great.
Hey, I actually wanted to make a point that this team has been too friendly to players and stuff, and then even the Cam Chancellor holdout, it was kind of rewarding the player after missed two games, and it cost us two games and stuff. And with the, like, even with Richard Sherman, like, they didn't have to release him when they did. And see, like, Dez Bryant has no job because he was released so late and stuff. And so he ended up, Richard Sherman ended up in our division. So I don't understand why Seahawks have not been, like, business-like. Like, this is a, football is a ruthless business, and you have to be ruthless to win consistently. And sorry to say that we've been way too nice with the players. And I don't think what I would do with Earl is maybe bring him to the table, give him a couple of $1 million on incentive base, like Pro Bowls, All Pro, or something like that. And then, like, give him an assurance that you franchise tag and stuff. You do need him in this year and stuff, but I would not give him an extension, especially after what happened with Cam Chancellor. And this is the thing. Cam Chancellor's contract was bad for the team just with Cam Chancellor, and now with this Earl Thomas situation, it looks even worse and stuff. You know?
Strong call. Man.
Whoa. Rashid in your group?
Lydia put up a 5. I think Kyle, did I see
saying.
You? Kyle, did I
consider
see
it.
You? Did I,
see
I put him ahead of
his call. Had a lot of head nods, and I even heard Brock going Tom Jackson.
It was better than Beast Mom's Kid.
Congratulations, you've made the top five.
You were doing a lot of messing around with the top five while I was in and out last week, and I feel like it's time to reclaim my space here opposite you.
Oh, you stake
put Rasheed number five.
Top five.
Erase
top
the Beast Mom and her
you
kid.
You feel like you've earned the right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like I have.
Oh, you've earned the right.
There's a lot of I statements there.
I feel like I can
while
put
I
Rasheed.
Was out, things went haywire. Now that I'm back.
Yeah. Take her out. Okay. Yeah, get rid of the Beast Mom, as much as I love her and her kid, and put Rasheed in there. He belongs. The guy belongs, Brock. It's
where
important.
Was Rasheed from?
He was from Bothell.
In Bothell.
Yeah. You don't even remember where Rasheed's from, see?
I was too busy head nodding.
Right, let's get the other side of the coin here. Let's grab Bill in Bellevue.
Yeah, I side completely with Earl. By the way, good morning to both of you.
Good morning, bro.
I completely with Earl.
How so?
And I think the conversation, for the most part, that has been going on this morning is absolute proof that he's right to do what he's doing. I mean, nobody in this community really, I shouldn't say nobody, there are people like me who care about the players who provide us with all of the entertainment that we've enjoyed over the past 7 years since Earl and that group of players were here. They provided us with a lot. They provided this city with a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment people begin to believe that they might not be able to live up to that standard any longer, not have proof that they won't be able to live up to that standard, but just think they might not be able to. Well, they just want to keep them to the side.
But, Bill, what are you going to keep everybody forever? You can't give everybody a contract extension. You can't pay everybody.
No, but we're not talking about everybody. We're talking about a future Hall of Fame player who is still able to perform at that very high level that he's performed at for the past 8 years. And there's no reason to think that he can't do that for 3 or 4 more years.
Yeah.
Think about it for a moment.
Well, they must have reason to believe that because they've decided not to pay him.
Now, here's the other thing, too, Bill, is their livelihoods depend on these decisions. Like John Schneider's livelihood and his staff, maybe Pete's going to depend on their projection of Earl.
Let me say one thing. You're right. You're right, Brock. You're absolutely right. And normally I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
You're pretty savvy about football, but I think you're dead wrong here. Let me say this one thing. Earl Thomas is not just one of the best safeties in the game today. He's one of the best safeties to ever play the game. There are very few safeties in the history of the sport who've been able to cover sideline to sideline.
True.
Congratulations. You've made the top five.
Wow.
Doesn't even get to finish his point, but Bill has made the top. Back-to-back callers in the top five.
Wow.
That's never happened in the history of this show.
How does that
in 9 years? It's ever been top five back-to-back callers in 9 years.
How does that feel, Bill?
Wow. So Bill and he's gone. Bill and Rasheed.
Are you hung up on him?
Yeah, he's done.
What?
Bill and Rasheed both making it into the top five right at the end of the show, right under
mainly just for telling Brock he's dead wrong. I really appreciate that.
Where's Bill from?
Bill was from Bellevue.
Bellevue. All right. Bill from Bellevue, Rasheed from Bothell.
Exactly.
All right, you're going on the board.
Top five. Jody, you're out.
Put him on the board.
Beast Mom, you're out.
Put him on the board.
People are moving on up into the top five. All right. It's been quite the day, man. A lot of good Earl Thomas conversation, some good Mariners stuff thrown in here as well. Excited to see where this goes over the course of the rest of this week. Coming up next, though, we're going to do what we like to do at the end of every show, which is answer your questions. You text us, 710-710. Powered by Coors Light. Could be sports-related, could be life, whatever it is. Whatever's on your mind, we'll answer it next. I'm Brock and Salk.
Is that to say that Earl can now put his name back in his mouth?
This is Brock and Salk. Answer the question, jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
That's my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
All right, a lot of questions coming in here. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Brock, you announced it earlier, season 8 for your football camp. once again at Husky Stadium this year.
Yeah, registration begins, so you can't do anything now. 710sports.com. Next Monday, we'll have that link. And it is, the only bummer is it's first come, first serve. And just because of the stadium and everything else, resource, we have about 150 kids in the morning, ages 8 to 12 usually, and then the teenagers come in the afternoon, and it's an absolute blast. We'll have a couple Huskies helping out, some other local coaches. And
who's helping out this year? Do we know yet?
It's TBD.
TBD.
Yeah, I'm in negotiations. A couple are taking some real hard stands.
Really?
Yeah, a couple have said they're going to no-show. Yeah, a couple contract holdouts, so we'll try to get them all on board.
Who do you want?
I want Don O'Neill to be healthy. I don't want him to have a patch over the eye.
Yeah, that was tough.
You know, I want John Curley out there. Is he,
no, you don't.
Kind of inspiring and pushing.
I don't think that's what
you want. I want Luke. I want Wyman. I want Looker. I want Moyer. I want that crew back together again.
Now, what did Luke think about you and Damon going fishing together this weekend? Was he a little jealous?
I don't know.
You didn't tell him?
No.
What do you mean you didn't?
Well, he's in Cali. He's got business. He had camps. He's working.
You didn't tell him?
He's too
busy. So you and Damon took a great brothers fishing trip together this weekend. You didn't tell Luke?
Don't stir the pot.
I'm stirring it. I'm not trying to. I just was wondering how he took it, and only to find out that you didn't tell him.
Right.
Are you going to tell him?
Maybe I'll invite him next year.
What if he hears about it from somebody else?
He's on Twitter. He saw the pictures. Next.
Okay.
You said you got a lot of questions. Next.
Interesting that he didn't respond.
No.
Did you and Damon get competitive?
Next.
Did you and Damon get competitive?
What do you think?
I think you did.
Yes.
Why can't you help that?
I don't know.
You know what happens. Why can't you not get competitive with Damon?
I will say this. The Lord helped, because they were really rough seas. Day two, Damon got seasick. Not competitive at all.
He was out for the count.
Yes.
And he went back out there day three?
No, he wasn't out for the count. He survived. Oh, he was in survival mode, and he sucked it up.
He vomited?
Like a warrior. He had a couple little moments, but he gutted it out.
Next question.
Jerks with grilled cheese.
Yeah.
Do you like it with soup or by itself? What kind of cheese do you use?
Great question.
By the way, you should try it with a King's Hawaiian loaf bread.
Whoa.
That sounds interesting.
King's Hawaiian loaf?
Very, very spongy, I would think.
My wife makes these baked sliders with King's Hawaiian rolls. Oh. She takes the sheet, cut them in half.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically two giant rolls. Mm-hmm. Slather the whole pan with butter. You put in your cheese and whatever else you need. Put it back on. Mm-hmm. Bake it. Mm-hmm. Pull it out. Mm-hmm. It's crispy Hawaiian bread sliders. Absolutely out of control.
Can I get Jake Lamb yelling for that? Can I get a little of Jake Lamb for that?
I don't make enough grilled cheese.
No, I don't either.
I probably should make more.
Oh, that sounded just delicious.
My kids won't eat it.
What kind of cheese?
Cheddar?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Like pimento?
It's okay. Yeah. I don't mind. I mean, I like pretty much all cheese. Anything but American.
Yeah. Agreed.
Next question.
Swiss isn't great on grilled cheese.
No. What? You can do it right. Yeah, I don't mind Swiss.
It's not great on grilled cheese.
I've just become such a big Swiss fan.
Yes.
I don't care. Put on anything. Jerks, could Robbie Cano get traded, preferably for a pitcher? Technically, yes. In the real world, no. Yes, you are allowed to trade a player who's been suspended. His value is zero.
If you ate half of his deal?
I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. Even then, probably not. I'd be surprised. I don't think that's going to happen.
It's a contract flip thing at that point. It's the player that you want more that has the same amount of money on it.
But you're going to get him back. I mean, the one thing that's crazy about Cano is if you start looking at needs for the Mariners, obviously pitching is still going to be need one, and you probably got to take care of that. But one of their lesser needs is a left-handed hitting first baseman.
Mm-hmm.
You can get the guy in August who could absolutely be a left-handed hitting first baseman.
Yep.
So I don't know they're going to deal
with him. Who's also probably not going to have a lot of leverage to tell you no.
That's right.
No.
Robbie would like you to kind of platoon a little bit with Healy down the stretch. No. Yeah, I don't think so. How about yes?
Okay.
Next question.
Jerks, we had our daughter's boyfriend, and I'm assuming his mother and brother, over for lunch after church yesterday.
Well, assuming.
Well, it says we had our daughter's boyfriend, mom, and brother.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's their daughter's mom and brother, or I'm assuming their
boyfriends. Yeah. Yep.
Sorry, I was doing the best I could to interpret.
A boyfriend, the boyfriend's mother and brother.
Okay. Over for lunch after church yesterday.
Okay.
Is it too much to expect that they would offer to bring anything for the meal? What's that proper protocol when you're invited somewhere as a guest?
So they obviously didn't, and this person's disappointed they didn't.
As they should. Interesting. Okay. You gotta make at least a suggestion to
what
bring
can
something.
I bring?
Right.
Yes.
Dessert, can I bring a bottle of wine? Can I something?
Yes.
Come on.
You, it's your thing.
So many rules in the society.
Is that an immediate red flag?
How's anyone supposed to enter this society these days?
Right.
Rule after rule, faux pas after faux pas.
I don't know. Just a little grace and generosity. Is that too much to ask
for?
It's
like Manny Acta said, if you don't want rules broken, then just stop creating so many rules.
Amen to that, Manny.
Did Lydia, you weren't in there when Lydia was telling me about where she... You worked at, that was in college? You worked at a...
Yeah, Salk might know this because Pomona and Claremont Kid, the progressive school that was on our campus where a lot of college professors' kids went, where I worked because I was a developmental psych major, and the rule was you can never say no to the kids.
Oh.
The idea being that they don't develop an idea of doing something based on like punishment, but based on their conscience of, I should do this because it's the right thing to do.
Sure.
But it's also a two-year-old, and you just need to tell them to stop doing things sometimes.
Yeah, right.
I've never told my kids no.
Right.
Dad, we'd like to sleep in your bed. No.
Because they're born good, right? As humanists, we're just born good. They're just, they make all the right choices. They're just born
naturally?
Yeah. No.
That's what I found. Actually, my kids have never made a mistake.
Perfect. If you don't want rules to be broken, then don't have too many of them.
You didn't say don't have any. You said don't have too many. No. Yes.
Salk, your kids won't eat grilled cheese. Contrarians don't fall far from the tree. Dude, it's really annoying. Avery won't eat any cheese.
What?
Cecily,
she has to be tricked into eating cheese pizza.
Yeah.
Remember that?
You have to call plain.
You tell her it's plain pizza, she's good.
It's true. And Cecily only likes cheese by itself.
Oh.
And it's got to be Tillamook cheddar or don't bring it near her.
Interesting.
Who can blame her on that one, though?
Tillamook cheddar or bus.
Are we still saying no to fast food, too?
Heather gave me permission when she was out of town if I wanted to take the kids to fast food.
Oh.
But I took them to You Need a Burger, which was sort of in between.
Okay.
I thought about it, though. I was going to take them to Dick's.
Dude, if the Mariners win tonight, 42-24, how jacked and pumped is John Morosi going to be tomorrow?
Well, there's some debate about whether he's going to be on tomorrow.
Because
he's going to be in studio with us on Friday.
Oh.
Seattle is alive for the Mariners.
I hope it is. I hope people are out there tonight and for the rest of the series against the Angels. I want to sweep the Angels. At the very least, I want to win that series.
Can sweep Mike Socha's leg.
Yes.
Sweep the leg. Bad, sweep the Mariners.
Bad manager.
Sweep them.
Bad manager. All right, we got to run. We got to get out of here. Let Clayton pop in. He's got a lot of Earl to talk about. He's the guy you want to hear. So John Clayton, the professor, up next. We'll see you guys tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Till then, the head.
Barn. Yeah.
See you, everybody.
Excitement in Seattle is insane. It's insane.
Yeah! Yeah! Wow! Get to the chopper!